Good evening, fellow Wahoos and ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood.
You know, tonight we may have a few SEC sports fans.
Researcher Michael Tusky and special in-studio guest Noah Greenbaum. Wahoo fans are gearing up for the 44th annual Chick-fil-A Bowl on Saturday night. The Wahoo football team is practicing in the Georgia Dome and alternating to Georgia Tech's facilities down in Atlanta. The UVA basketball team picked up their 11th win last night, and they are perched, I believe, in the 23rd spot on the AP poll. Tonight we'll preview Virginia's big bowl game in Hotlanta. We're glad that you joined us.
Did you guys notice how, you know, throw a little curveball at Frank? You know, he was sitting on that fastball, and all of a sudden, you know, he whiffed at that curveball.
I ignored it.
Ignored it. Well, the umpire said, D-Ray! No. This is Hobbo. We have another great show for you tonight. We have Noah Greenbaum right here in studio to my left. Of course, Michael Tusky is here. We're going to be joined shortly by former UVA star linebacker John Copper. And I mentioned Noah is here. He's a former member of the kicking unit at the University of Virginia. And then I found this a little funny. Kevin Eds will join us to discuss team colors. I don't know why I find that funny. Oh, well. And, of course, the Sabres' Chris Wright will help us break down the big game on Saturday night. There are several ways to follow the show as we get ready for a football discussion this evening.
We encourage call-ins. Just dial 345-0910. Who's Talking is also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go on to Facebook, just search for Who's Talking and become a fan. You can also download the iHeartRadio application on your smartphone to listen live. Your comments and questions are always welcome. Just call us at 345-0910.
Well, Frank, Noah, and Michael, the football team's been in Atlanta since Monday, I believe. And I think yesterday they worked out in the Georgia Dome to get acquainted with the Georgia Dome facility and in the environment there. I think Frank said they practiced at Georgia Tech. Is that right? Today? Earlier today?
Yes.
So the team getting ready for the big game on Saturday evening. So they got Thursday practice, Friday practice, I guess thanks to Noah and John Copper. We've got some guys that have experienced bowl preparations, so they can maybe fill us in on what exactly the team is going through midweek as they get ready for a Saturday night kickoff. So big game for the football program on Saturday night. Auburn, you know, it's funny. We were talking before we went on air. 7-5 in the Southeastern Conference is different. You know, two of their losses are to LSU and Alabama.
Yeah.
Arkansas, Clemson, and Georgia.
Georgia,
the other three
have been to a top 25 team.
Yeah. So this 7-5 is really deceptive when you look at the Auburn Tigers.
I think the thing that helps Virginia on a number of levels, just putting it all in context. Their star tailback and team captain, Dwyer, has been suspended for the game. There's been no information released that I'm aware of detailing what he did or did not do. Bottom line is he ain't playing, and he generated 1,200 yards on the ground for them. I don't care how many backs you rotate in there. When you take a star tailback off the field like that, it hurts you. The other thing is their coaches are in state of flux. One coach is leaving, one coach is staying, but then leaving. It's going to be the defensive coach has left. So Gene Chizik, the head coach, has had to step in, and he's going to run the defense. So there's some adjusting that had to occur. This all plays nicely into Virginia's strengths. We've been very stable this year, and I anticipate that Virginia will be well prepared for this game.
Well, as we discussed yesterday with Steve Adams, I think a lot of it depends on how excited Auburn is to be at the football game. You know Virginia's excited, and I think they're going to be ready to play, so we'll see what type of atmosphere or attitude the Auburn Tigers have when they get there. But I think John Copper is on the line, so he's ready to join us now. John, are you with us?
I am. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Frank, is this a man that needs any introduction? You've been on the show before.
I think it's fair to say that John has been a good contributor this year. We've very much enjoyed his input, both in studio and also as a call-in guest. John played at Virginia from 2005 to 2008, was a three-year starter. And I think when we watch Steve Greer on the field today, it almost is like watching John Copper Jr. running around, filling the hole, playing good, smart middle linebacker play. And we're glad that you joined us tonight.
Yeah, glad to be on here.
John, got about 15 questions. We probably only have time for about six. But let's start with defense. Evaluate UVA's defense versus Auburn's run-oriented offense.
Yeah, I think especially up front, I was very impressed all year with our defensive line. I think if we had a hole in our defense that was inconsistent at times, it was probably our pass rush. So going against a very run-oriented team, I think we should fare very well against that.
John, let me flip this thing in the other direction. What about, Virginia likes to run the football. What is going to be the prospect of Virginia being able to run the ball against Auburn's front seven?
Yeah, I think it would be good. Honestly, I haven't seen Auburn's front seven play, but just looking at the stats, I think we match up well. I mean, Auburn's allowing almost 200 yards a game on average on the ground. So I definitely think that's something that we should have a good game plan going into to be able to take advantage of that. I mean, one of the neat things about bowl week is, you get at least twice the preparation time, sometimes even a little more than that. So instead of, a normal week, you'll have a primary offense day, primary defense day, kind of a run day, then a pass day for the defense, and then kind of a third down all-encompassing day. So you really only get about three work days on a typical preparation week. But going into the bowl game, you might have 9, 10, 11, 12 actual preparation days that you can put into a game. So I'm really looking forward to the rushing game plan that we have to be able to attack their defense, where it looks like they've been somewhat vulnerable this year.
John, how many wrinkles do you think that we'll put in, some new blitzes or any type of new packages for the game?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It really depends on what the coaches see against the other team. I know that most teams tend to put in a little something unique. I know when we played every bowl game, we played Fresno State, we played Minnesota, and we played Texas Tech. And, of course, Texas Tech was almost, entirely change up from what we normally do. But even Minnesota and Fresno State, which were, kind of some typical type offensive looks, I mean, we definitely put in some new wrinkles on how we were going to go against their primary runs and that sort of thing, and, kind of the primary attack, and did the same thing on our offensive game plan. There'll definitely be a few things in there. How much, like I said, that depends on how much the coaches think would be most beneficial for us.
All right. John, you've seen Virginia play quite a bit in the last few years. You know that they've upgraded the skill positions at Virginia. But I think the area of the field Virginia has probably made the most improvements could be the linebackers for Virginia. Talk about UVA's linebackers and how much responsibility they have going into this game, because they're going to face a team that's heavy on the run but then tries to trick you with, play-action fakes, and they use their tight end. And when they go deep, they go way deep. They don't throw a 20-yard ball; they throw a 50-yard ball.
Yeah. That's a big part. Stopping the run, of course, up front. A lot of that, especially in a 4-3. I mean, if your defensive line can create some havoc, that allows the linebackers to kind of run a little more and make some plays. I mean, we definitely saw that a lot this year. I mean, I know Laura Reynolds, Steve Brewer, I mean, both of those guys look like we're in the backfield, frequently. And like I said, that's especially on run plays, that's a lot up to your defensive line. In terms of covering the tight ends, it just depends on the coverage. The primary coverages that we run usually actually put the safety on tight ends going deep. So that would be a thing, just making sure our safeties kind of stick with their responsibility there and don't bite on those fakes too much. Hopefully the game plan doesn't put too much weight on the safeties in terms of having to make decisions on different things like that. But that's probably the biggest thing, is just game planning that one. So, it should be good. I've really enjoyed watching, especially the linebacker play. I mean, it's been good. Like I said, the two guys that stuck out, of course, were Steve Brewer and Leroy Reynolds, just flying around, making a lot of plays in the backfield. And, it's been fun to watch, and I think this bowl game won't be any different.
We've talked a lot in a nice article in the paper this week about the development of Michael Rocco and his relationship with Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator. What do you expect out of Michael Rocco in this game?
Yeah, you know, Michael's played consistently. I mean, he had a few games there early on where it's kind of up and down, but you know, he's been a pretty consistent player for us. And I'm kind of looking for the same, and I'm looking for the game plan to a lot like back when Matt Schaub in his junior year. I mean, a lot of the plays that we ran, especially early in the game, were just little short passes, screen passes, just things to. Very, very accurate, completable passes to get Matt Schaub in the game early in his career, and that's been the game plan sometimes with Rocco this year, and you know, I'm not looking for anything different in the bowl game. I mean, whenever you're in a bowl game, the kind of tone you can set early is going to be important, and I think coming out with some short passes that'll get Michael into the game, get him calmed down, and just because you know it'll be pretty much everybody that's on the team. I think this would be the first bowl game. Is that right?
I believe for the players this year, Chris Bird and a few others were on the Gator Bowl team.
Okay, yeah. So a couple of the 5th years were, yeah.
So they were with you.
Yeah.
Down at the Gator Bowl, but they probably didn't play much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know, I'm looking for probably a game plan that'll just come out and get Michael in the groove early on, and then that'll give him some confidence to kind of open it up probably later in the game. I mean, that's kind of what I saw some this year that we did, and I think we'll do it some more here in this bowl game.
John, you talked about playing Texas Tech in the Gator Bowl a few years ago, and you know Auburn runs a similar style, spread them out offense, and make a lot of different calls at the line of scrimmage. Talk about the challenges of facing a non-traditional offense like that and what you have to do when they come up and make those reads and you guys have to check out of a lot of things.
Yeah, you know, it's really probably the biggest thing is like when we were playing Texas Tech, I mean, we were going against wide receivers that caught 2 and 3 times as many balls during the year as the other receivers that we had seen. So just from mere repetition, I mean, the amount of times the guys had run the routes and seen the routes and seen the different coverages, I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot new that we could throw at them, but just being able to game plan that, I thought that year we did have a pretty good game plan to be able to attack that. And, you know, looking at it, like I said, I don't know that Auburn has that type of receiving core. So even though it's kind of spread around, that sort of thing, I don't think it'll be a whole lot different than facing teams. Because, you know, when you're playing Texas Tech and you might have, you know, 2 or 3 receivers that are approaching, you know, 700,000 plus yards. I mean, Crabtree was on that team that year, and then they had another guy that had just as many receiving yards as he did. And again, the number of routes those guys run, the number of coverages they understand, the number of checks that they can make on the fly is just totally different because that's all they're doing every day in practice and every game. I mean, it's the same thing. Whereas, like I said, with Auburn, you know, just the by the numbers, I don't think the receiving core is quite like that. You know, it's always a little bit of a challenge when you have a team that kind of spreads it out. But again, I think the main thing is the repetition that the receivers get. I don't know that Auburn has quite that in play.
All right, we've got about 30, 45 seconds here before we go to our first break. John, just real quickly, just your thoughts on Coach Jim Reed's effort this year to turn this defense around. They gave up far fewer big plays this year, anything 20 yards and over. They did a much better job. Just your general thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I think I said it last time on the show. I mean, anytime you get a new coach and a new scheme in, you know, it's going to take probably into that later half of the second. Usually, though, that 3rd and 4th year is really when things hit a groove. And I thought just guys were on the same page more this year and understood the game plan better. And that was able to allow them to perform better. I mean, that's the biggest thing, especially with big plays or blown coverages, deep balls, you know, missed tackles. You know, a lot of folks will say that's technique. Well, it is, but it's primarily just understanding how the pieces are fitting together while you're on the field. And that's just something, you know, I'm looking for even a better year next year, just again, because the guys will have done it now for a 3rd year on the road under Coach Reed.
Outstanding. Well, John, you've been an excellent contributor this year, and we hate to see 2011 fade into the rearview mirror, but at the same time, in just a few days, Virginia will be on the field with Auburn, and who would have ever thought, right?
I don't know that anybody would, but before the year started, I said, I think we can win. Pretty sure we can get 6 or 7, and 8 would be a great year. You know, it's been a great year.
John, thank you very much. We're going to head to break now, and when we return here on Who's Talking, we're going to go over the Chick-fil-A Bowl basic details and present our play of the game. So stay with us. Be back in just a few minutes.
All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, Noah Greenbaum, and Michael Tusky in studio with our producer, Jesse. So we're all here.
Full house.
The gang's all here, and we're happy you've rejoined the program for segment two. And Frank is going to give you some details. There are still tickets and transportation available for Saturday's game, and Frank has that information.
All right. First off, I talked to the UVA ticket office today. And had a good conversation with those folks, and there are still tickets available. They're going to be selling tickets all the way through the end of the week, and then they're taking the tickets to Atlanta, and people can pick up their tickets two ways. They can go to the Marriott Marquis, which is the team hotel, from 9 to 12 a.m. on Saturday morning and get their tickets there, and that's what they're recommending. And secondly, then they can, if they can't make it in time for that, then they need to go to the Georgia Dome, and that's probably not a good idea. I think those lines are going to be epic because there's a lot of player tickets and friends of the program tickets and all that, you know, stuff. So it should be quite convoluted. Now, in addition to all that, the UVA Club of Richmond put together and is sponsoring a luxury bus trip with James Limousine co-sponsoring. It's only $115 a ticket for a club member and $140 for all others. They have a few seats remaining, and they'd like to fill up this bus. It'll be leaving on Friday morning and returning on Sunday afternoon. So definitely a great value. And, you know, if you haven't made plans for this coming weekend, what a great event. Go down to Atlanta, have a blast. So go to RichmondWhos.com. That's RichmondWhos.com, and you can do everything online. This is still good through the end of the day tomorrow. All right, there's the information there. At this time, we're going to announce our play of the game, which is sponsored by our good friends at LeClaire Ryan Law Firm.
Yeah, and we went to the, it's not really a play of the game as much as it is player of the game against Maryland Eastern Shore last night, talking basketball, obviously. Virginia won for the ninth consecutive time. I think that's their longest losing or winning streak in several years and their best start since 2001 when they were also 11-1 to begin the year. Mike Scott last night had 17 points in 15 minutes. So that's
a good line.
Absolutely. And rookie Paul Jesperson, who took the red shirt off and got in the game for the first time as a Virginia player, had 5 points in his first game. And the other thing that Mike Scott did, which is rare for certainly a Virginia player, to be ACC Player of the Week in consecutive weeks. So quite a tribute to him. And, of course, the basketball team has Towson on Friday, and then they make the trip to LSU, play there on Monday, January 2nd, come home the following Saturday against Miami. So, and as of next week's show, we kind of transition toward basketball and get serious about the hoops team, but they've done very well in the 2011 portion of the 2011-12 season.
And we're hoping we can get Tony Bennett on next week's show. We're reaching out to Rich Murray. And if Rich doesn't get it done, we're going to go get some other thugs, and we're going to have to rough up Tony.
Yeah, in the coming weeks, certainly. We got Ted Jeffries, the new analyst, lined up for January the 11th, trying to get Corey Alexander, Jimmy Miller, Tony Bennett, hopefully Tim Mullen, and a number of former Hoos that will be joining us during the month of January.
Looking forward to all that. All right. Just some general thoughts. Auburn is – this is a tough team. You have to wonder about, you know, their perspective coming into this game. They've had some turnover with their coaching staff. Their starting tailback got in trouble a week or two ago and has been suspended for the game. They were on the national stage in a big way all of last season. If a team had a microscope on them from the beginning of the season to the end with the whole Cam Newton story and how he arrived at Auburn, it was Auburn. I mean, they were in the limelight or the spotlight for a long time, and this has to feel a lot different this year.
And I think that's the key to the game. You know, the level of passion that Auburn is going to bring to the stadium on Saturday night, and I guess we probably won't know that until the game starts. We certainly know that Virginia is going to be excited to be there. Now, maybe that results in a little nervousness, but I think the Cavs are going to give 110% effort, so it remains to be seen. As you say, they got some coaching issues. They have a tailback key player out of the game. So we'll see what happens.
In addition, Auburn is a run first, run second, and maybe run third type of team. And I got to believe that Coach Reed can get this defense squared away so that on first and second down, they are ready to go and they can play some smash mouth right there at the line of scrimmage. And Conrath and the rest of them, you know they're geared up for this. This is a chance to really trade some leather and prove what you're made of. And, I think Virginia's ready for this game. I think this is almost, in essence, a perfect opponent for Virginia to be playing. I would be very worried if we were playing a Barkley at Southern Cal or a Luck from Stanford with, guys that could run and throw in their offense. Auburn relies on the run quite heavily, and I think our defensive secondary will not get fooled, and they'll be able to cover, the deep throws and the tight end releases. But that's why they play the game. And Auburn is favored by 2 for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, when you got a team like that that goes through so much, between a bowl game, it can do one of two things. It can segregate everybody and get everybody going separate ways, or it can rally. And, that's my fear is that, Gene Chizik is an incredible motivator, that he's using all this to rally his team, and they're going to come out swinging.
Well, it could be. That's why we play the game and get the kickoff on Saturday night at 7:38 or whatever. But at any rate, let's go ahead and go to our second break, bottom of the hour break. When we return, we'll have Kevin Eds talking to us. Of course, he's the author of Wahoo Wah. And we will return after these messages. Stay tuned.